The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. That's how our story begins. It's in some ways a quiet line, but it's one that says a lot. The people of Israel were in a dry season. God seemed silent. The priests carried out their duties, the sacrifices were offered, the rituals kept, but something vital had gone missing. The voice of God, the fresh movement of the Spirit, had become rare. I recognize something of our own words, of our own world, in that sentence. Perhaps you do too. Visions were not widespread. These are days when so many voices compete for our attention. 24/7 news, social media, advertising slogans, partisan sound bites. It can be hard to tell what is God's voice and what is noise. There's so much noise, in fact, that many of us have stopped expecting to hear from God at all. And yet this story reminds us that even when we don't expect to hear it, the voice of God is still waiting. God is still prepared to call to us by name. Samuel is just a boy, serving under Eli, the aging priest. He's been dedicated to God since birth, but so far, all his service has been is ordinary. Sweeping floors, tending lamps, fetching things for Eli, nothing miraculous, nothing prophetic. And then, in the stillness of the night, something stirs. Samuel. Imagine him sort of bolting upright. He thinks his boss is calling him, and I know how I respond when my boss calls me. "Here I am," he says, and he runs to Eli, but Eli didn't call him. Eli groggily shakes his head. "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." As many things do in the Bible, this happens three times. And it's only on the third time that Eli, weary yet still wise, realizes what's happening. He tells Samuel, "If you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" When the call comes again, "Samuel, Samuel," the boy answers with those words. And his life and the life of his nation change forever. Many years ago, I was at a retreat for LGBTQ people preparing for ministry in the Presbyterian Church. These were in the days before the church ordained openly gay people, and so it was secret. We weren't even told where we were going beyond the airport we were flying into. And over the course of those 4 days, our guest preachers preached on this text, because this is a text that's deeply about vocation, about answering God's call. It's also, I think, about learning to hear God's call. Samuel doesn't recognize the voice of God right away. Why would he? He's never heard it before. Of course, he assumes it's the familiar voice of Eli, his mentor, because that's what we all do when something new happens. We interpret it through what we already know. And Eli, the priest, the one who's wiser and more experienced in the ways of the Lord, almost misses it too. It takes him a few tries before he realizes that something divine is happening in the next room. Story isn't just about the call of one person to one prophetic ministry. It's about a community of discernment. It takes both the old priest and the young boy to perceive what new thing God is doing around them. Discernment is not just about hearing a voice. It's also about recognizing it. We live in a time when it seems discernment may be one of the rarest gifts of all, one of the hardest ones to cultivate in our own lives. There are so many voices claiming to speak for God on the airwaves, in the politics, on the street corner, in the pulpit. It's easy to get lost. And one of the senses of that word discerning that we have in our language is about separating the good from bad. And that is certainly an important part of discernment. But it's not all that it is. It's also about cultivating an inner ear that can recognize the sounds of love, justice, and truth amid all the noise. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." But that doesn't happen automatically. It takes time. It takes attention. It takes community. In the 1980s, an artist named Tyree Guyton was living on Heidelberg Street in Detroit. Even then, Detroit was hollowed out by poverty, disinvestment, and despair. One day, as he walked down the street, he was looking at crumbling houses and empty lots, and he felt something stirring within him. He reports hearing a divine question, "What do you see here?" At first, the answer was obvious. Ruin. Despair. He had lived through the Detroit riots of the 60s, and he saw around him the consequences of those days. But then he began to sense another voice beneath the despair, one that asked him to look again, to look with fresh eyes, to look alongside his wife and his grandfather, to see not only what was broken, but what could yet be renewed. So he picked up a paintbrush. He began painting the abandoned houses in bright colors, covering them with polka dots and found objects. Pretty soon, the neighbors joined in. What was once a forgotten block became the Heidelberg Project, a vast, living art installation that turned rubble into resurrection, and is now one of the largest pieces of outdoor installation art in the world. Guyton later said, "God didn't tell me to preach. God told me to paint." Through art, he gave voice to hope. He listened to the divine whisper that said, "See, I am making all things new." As is often the case with prophets, whether they prophesy with words or with paintbrushes, not everyone understood what Tyree Guyton was doing. The city tried to shut him down multiple times. Vandals burned his work, but Guyton and the community around him kept rebuilding, each time brighter, each time a little stranger and more thought-provoking, each time more vibrantly alive. In the middle of desolation, he discerned the voice of God, not as a command from the clouds, but as a creative impulse stirring within the ordinary. Discernment sometimes means hearing God's voice in the very places the world has stopped listening. The very voices that you are afraid to listen to might be the ones that bear God's whisper. Sometimes those are the places God's voice can be heard the most clearly. 10 years ago, a Pixar movie came out called Inside Out. And it's for children, as Pixar movies are, but I think in a lot of ways it has a lot to say to adults. I was in my late 20s when I saw it, and I cried the whole way through. And in it, we follow the personified emotions of a young girl's mind. We see joy, sadness, anger, fear, and disgust working in a control room inside the main character's brain as they guide her through a time of upheaval. At first, joy tries to keep sadness away from everything. She thinks sadness is a problem to be managed, not a voice to be heard. But by the end of the film, joy learns that sadness has its own kind of wisdom, that healing and connection come only when sadness is allowed to speak, allowed full expression. That's discernment too. Sometimes the voice of God comes to us in a tone we don't expect. Sometimes it's in the grief we'd rather silence, or in the disruption we'd rather ignore. God's voice does not always sound like easy comfort. Sometimes it's a challenging call to change. One of the challenging things about 1 Samuel 3 is that the message God gives Samuel isn't a particularly easy or nice one. It's a word of judgment against Eli's household for its corruption. The first time Samuel hears God's voice, he's asked to speak truth to power. It's terrifying. But that's often how God speaks, calling us toward truth, even when truth is uncomfortable. Discernment is not just about listening for what we want to hear. If that's all it was, it would be much easier. It's about being open to the possibility that God's voice might challenge us, might stretch us, might even undo us a little or a lot. And here's the thing. Eli, though the message is hard, accepts it. It is the Lord, he says. Let God do what seems good to God. That's discernment too. Humility. The humility to receive the voice of God even when it comes from someone younger, someone smaller, someone unexpected, even when it tells us something we don't want to hear. So what does this story ask of us today, in this place, in this time? First, it invites us to stay awake to the possibility that God is still speaking, even when the word of the Lord seems rare, even when we feel like we're living in the silence between prophets. God is not finished. The Spirit still whispers. Second, it reminds us that the voice of God might come from somewhere we don't expect it. From a child, a stranger, an artist, a movement for justice, a moment of grief, a conversation that unsettles us. If we only listen to the familiar voices, if we only pay attention to the people who we know will say things we agree with, we might miss the divine message for us. Third, our story calls us to help each other listen. Eli's role in this story matters. The book is called 1 Samuel. Samuel's obviously a main character, but he's not the only one. Samuel's ability to hear God's voice would not have been possible without the guidance and the nudge from Eli. We all need people who can help us discern. Mentors, friends, communities of faith who can say, I think God might be speaking here. In the Society of Friends, who we know as Quakers, they have a discernment practice called a clearness committee. Anyone can assemble a clearness committee of people they trust to be discerning and wise. They gather together, sitting in a circle. The person who calls the committee describes the situation that they're facing. I'm thinking about taking a new job. I'm thinking about getting married. I'm wondering where God is calling me next. And the people assembled listen to what was said to them, listen for the still small voice of God in their hearts. And they respond by asking questions only. They don't offer advice. They don't reflect anything back. They don't say, oh, well, 20 years ago, I was in a similar situation, and this is what I did, and it really worked out well. They just ask questions. And the person who called the committee answers as honestly as they can, and that prompts more questions, which prompts more answers, which prompts more questions. And the friends trust that in that process, the leading of God will be revealed. And then once God's voice has been revealed to us, once we hear the new thing that God is saying to us, the story challenges us to respond. Once Samuel hears the voice, he doesn't stay in bed, much as he wants to. He listens and he speaks even though speaking is hard. He steps into his calling. Hearing God's voice always leads to action. Church, if you feel like the word of God is rare in these days, take heart. Maybe we've just been listening for the wrong kind of voice. Maybe God has been calling our names all along, softly, persistently, in the quiet hours of the night. Maybe the next prophet isn't one with the megaphone or the podcast or the pulpit, but the one quietly sweeping the floor of the temple, listening. So when you hear that voice, whether you hear it at church, in a song, at a protest, or as a whisper in your own heart. May you have, may we all have the courage to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." May we say today and every day, "Here I am." And may you have the discernment to recognize that the voice of God, though sometimes unexpected, is always leading us deeper into love, deeper into peace, deeper into justice, and deeper into truth. Amen.